Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Good morning and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0. We are so glad to have you with us today.
Yes, thank you for joining us in the frozen tundra that is the Detroit metro area. And we're really jealous of where our guest is at today because it's not the Detroit metro area and thus not cold.
Well, just to fill you guys in a little bit on what has been going on with us, last couple of weeks we had to replay shows because we both came down with bronchitis. One week and the other the next.
Yeah.
So, and it was brutal. Neither of us could stop coughing, so we couldn't have ever have done a show.
Yeah, and that's still probably going to pop up here and there on this show. So if we're coughing at all, please forgive us. you know, we're trying.
Yeah, we're definitely trying not to cough in your ears. So.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. Just going a little bit further on us, you know, the holidays are coming up and,
It's November already.
Yeah. It's hard for me to process, even though I do actually already have our Christmas cards bought and ready to be written out.
She's got that.
It's just something that I do. I like every year to be the first Christmas card that everybody gets.
She gets really bummed out if, you know, she's in the middle of writing out cards and now you walk in with the mail and, oh, there's a Christmas card. She's like, talk on it.
And the other last couple of years back, a friend of mine told me that I was not on the throne of number one anymore because she got a Christmas card before mine. So
yeah,
that kind of bummed me out. So I got to get working on those.
I anticipate us working on those this afternoon, actually. But you know, you got the holidays and, you know, Thanksgiving's coming, and Thanksgiving's only a couple weeks away, which is insane to me.
You know, we're really trying to keep our spirits up as much as possible, especially me. You know, this will be the first year without my dad. I've never spent, I think, one Thanksgiving last year without him. Other than that, I've been with him around Thanksgiving every year of my life, basically. And Christmas was a thing with me and my dad at you know, as I was growing up, we went and got the tree and we decorated and everything. So it's going to be an emotional time. And so we're just working on starting new traditions for us that, you know.
Exactly. You know, like one thing we decided is we're actually going to put the tree up on Thanksgiving this year, which is really early for us. But, you know, with it being such a stressful time, especially for Becky, I told her, you know, however you want to celebrate, that's how we're going to celebrate today. And she's been bugging me for years for a white tree. So we got a white tree this year and we're going to decorate it however she wants to decorate it. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think, you know, this is the beginning of something new for us. And I think that's important, you know, when things change over the course of your life, you know, you lose, you know, loved ones and whatnot, and you think back to, you know, holidays of years past, and, you know, that it's not ever going to be that way again. So you have to make it your own and you have to find your way through it and have it mean something new for you. And sometimes that's a yearly thing and you have to do that every year, you know, and, you know, just knowing that there are still people that care about you and are there for you, you know, and are welcoming to you. And if you know somebody that doesn't have anybody this year, you know, either for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, reach out to them, you know, have them come over, bring them over, you know, make them included and feel welcomed, you know. And well, we're all we've got. And we got to be there for everybody. You know, it's, you know, difficult times these days and, you know, a little love goes a long way.
That's for sure. So
off my soapbox.
Thanks, dear. So our guest today is a well-known physician, author, and podcast host, and we're honored to have her on our show. We know that you have a very busy schedule, so we are grateful to her for taking time out to join us. So please welcome to our show Dr. Denise McDermott.
Thank you so much for having me. And I was listening very intently to your introduction. And Rebecca, I am here sending you so much love and white love and thinking about you, your family, and how much you love your dad. And just know that I love what Joe said. I mean, we really are one kind of one big love and one humanity. And I am sending you so much love and grace and remembrance of your father this season.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Doc. Yeah. We're honored to have you with us. You know, like Beck said, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to be with us. You know, you were going over before the show started, you know, what kids are where, and, you know, you got, you know, your kids in a punk band, you know, sleeping away, and, you know, pets are here and there, and that's crazy. You just have a crazy, crazy life, it sounds like.
A good crazy.
I call it living the Vida Loca. And because I practice mindfulness, I'm just like really here and tuned in, and I'm grateful for what you have done with your radio show. I mean, I have read your book. I've interviewed you for my show. Our interview is going to be coming out this week on the Dr. Denise Show, Rebecca. And what you have done as a couple, the level of support and love you've had through mental health challenges is so admirable. And I, as a doctor, I am definitely all about holistic health and well-being, and I love the fact that you have this platform. So I thank you for your show and for being on the show today.
Well, thanks.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, that, you know, it means a lot to hear that, you know, because, you know, we're like anybody. You know, you second-guess yourself at times and go, well, am I really helping anybody? You know, is it really reaching, you know, and being beneficial to people, and that's all we really want. You know, just we want to help people and, you know, get the word out, shed some light, you know, crash down some stigma, you know, all of that. You know, and, I mean, we're all working together for the same goal, you know, ultimately. And I think that, you know, just having, it's awesome that we have these platforms. You know, I think back 20 years ago, I went to a local broadcasting arts school here, and I couldn't have ever pictured back then having a platform like this today to, you know, raise awareness on issues and do that kind of thing.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And we're really grateful to our producer, Scott, by the way.
Absolutely.
Is very patient with us and does an amazing job of what he does. So, you know, without him, we wouldn't be here. So,
absolutely.
So, well, let's get rolling into the questions. If you don't have any questions for us,
maybe they'll come up, but I'd love to hear yours.
Okay.
Sounds like a deal.
Okay, great.
So, do you actually have a private practice at this time, Dr. McDermott?
I do, and so I just wanted to let everyone know I've kind of leaped into a whole nother career with social media, and I wrote a book, I co-produced a documentary, but yes, I have a private practice in Manhattan Beach and Redondo Beach. I've needed to see probably a third less patients since I've been having a more global platform. I will tell you all with humility, I'm human too. And I had probably one of the toughest I've had. It's been a really tough 2017 for mental health issues. I've been in practice since 2001. I work with 40% adults, 60% children and teens. I've had more people that have called me with like kind of an increased acuity, increased anxiety and depression, and more suicidal thoughts than I've ever had in all my years of practice. And I really care deeply about people and the people in my practice. And so this particular week, I had some professional emergencies. Everyone's safe and everyone's okay, but I'm very much an empath. So, you know, if I assess someone and they've been assaulted, or, you know, it's the anniversary of a loss of a loved one that committed suicide. I had someone recently that had a relative that was murdered, kind of all in the same week. And so I just want to let everyone know, as a doctor, and I'm a mom too, I have to kind of clear things. And so what I did was I postponed some future interviews for a couple months, not because I'm not going to probably do them in January, but that's my way of staying present and staying caring and making sure I'm the mom I need to be. And then I can, when I have patients that are in crisis, then I'm really showing up for them. And so, you know, I really take in what I do seriously, and it's like a real privilege. It's a privilege to be on this show. When I interact on social media, when I do hashtags, One Humanity and One Love, I'm really sending out a lot of healing energy. And so I just can't even tell you how great I think it is that you have this show, because I think a lot of times when people have mental health issues, they feel alone. And I think shows like yours make people realize they're not alone.
Yeah.
We hope so.
Yeah, that's our goal is, you know, raising awareness is one thing, but being able to show people that they're not alone with whatever they struggle with, regardless of what they struggle with.
Yeah, that's why I'm so upfront with everything that I deal with, because, you know, I think that's the only way to help people is to be as transparent as possible with whatever is happening in your life.
Exactly. Exactly.
I agree.
Hey, Doc, can you tell us about your philosophy when you're treating your patients?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I kind of intuitively knew way back in 2001 when I finished up at UCLA in child psychiatry that I needed to get out of a hospital environment or a clinic environment, because I felt like the words that people use were illness related. And I just knew in my heart that there's different ways and different ways of talking. I value science. I value Western medicine. And I know we have to, you know, say ADHD or anxiety. I have to have clinical acumen and diagnoses. However, my philosophy is a wellness, not illness philosophy. It doesn't mean I don't validate people that are having depression or suicidality or anxiety or people who are struggling with cutting. However, I really empower people to think of themselves as who they are and not their target symptoms. I think times when you go to MDs, you kind of walk out of there and you feel like you got stamped with some label instead of feeling like you are treated as a human being who's suffering. And so I think I've been so fortunate that I started a private practice right out of UCLA, and I've always practiced a multidimensional well-being. I mean, in fact, you know, if you come for a medication follow-up appointment with me that's 30 minutes, we probably talk about the medication piece for 5 of the 30, not because I don't know what to do with the medicine, but because I really love to know, you know, are you doing your surfing? How's your homework? What are your friendships like? And then I also, on top of any medication prescription, I do cognitive behavioral therapy. I discuss mindfulness tools, nutrition, and I actually really connect with the person and find out what their worldview and what their universe view is, right? Some people believe that there's a life, a next life. Some people don't. And so I really tune in to where that person is with their belief system. And then we form a collaboration together.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Definitely
that's
different.
Great. You know, and I absolutely hear what you're saying with the feeling like you're stamped with a label, you know, because I've felt that way with doctor's appointments that we've gone to for Beck, you know, where, you know, you walk out and I'm bipolar. Well, no, you're not bipolar. You have bipolar. You're Rebecca. You know what I mean? And that's, I think it's easy to lose track of that.
You know, absolutely. Absolutely. And then the thing I would see is sometimes doctors that maybe, and I mean, by the way, I'm so grateful to people in medicine and the healing profession. So this isn't any judgment call, but sometimes people have their own stigma and they don't even realize it. We all do. We all have some sort of bias. You know, we're human beings. So let's say if someone comes in the emergency room, when I was doing my emergency room rotations, you know, I would notice sometimes doctors wouldn't take people as seriously if they had mental health issues. And I've had patients say that they don't even tell doctors when they go into their crisis clinics all their mental health issues, if they're just there for like a sore throat or something, because they just feel like there's still a stigma. You know, we need to do better as a society where we don't look like, oh no, they're on antidepressants. Oh, you know, is this all made up in their head? And I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful. I think medicine is moving in the right direction. I think society's shifting, but I think shows like yours and shows like mine and discussions like this need to happen more and more. And there's one word that if you've listened to my shows, I love. I use the word neurostyle because the word neurostyle, if you think about it, all of us as human beings have our own unique way of processing and perceiving the world, right? Whether you see a psychiatrist or not, right? There's kids who are shy, people who are sensitive, people who are outgoing, people who are talkative. And so I think if our children at a very young age in preschool and sooner are sort of given permission to be the best version of themselves and like, what's my neurostyle, right? Like my son will proudly say to his best friend, well, I'm a sensitive kid. I don't really like wearing those clothes. Or, Mommy, I only eat chicken nuggets and quesadillas. You know, he's like all proud of it. Like, I'm a sensitive kid because I've given him that empowerment where there's not something wrong with him. Because, by the way, he's so active in the morning. If you guys saw my house in the morning, like, oh my gosh, it's like a reality show where it's so loud and crazy. And I have to go in another room and go, no, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, like, he's like, Mom, I'm really active right now. I'm like, oh, yes, you are. So we use humor and we use awareness in my home with how we talk about our different personality styles, right? And so I want to just transition that back to what you were saying about stigma or maybe how Becca's been treated. I think if doctors, teachers, parents, people all have a level of compassion for one another, that we all, you know, it's for some people to go to the store, to go to Ralph's, was like the biggest victory of the day for them to walk down those aisles. If they have any anxiety or agoraphobia, it's like, wow, right? And other people just might be zooming along and knock them and not even realize that. And so I think if we had a greater sense of awareness for one another and respect, you know, that can carry through in all areas, you know? And I think that that's really what I'm passionate about, changing the way we think, talk, and act about mental health. And also realizing that I love what you said at the beginning when you were talking about the holidays, that we are really one humanity. I know we're human beings, but as a collective, we're all here on Earth, and we have to remember that, and that this is our planet, and that we have to have love and compassion for one another.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, it's funny, you mentioned hiding symptoms. That's very true. I mean, there's been times where, you know, we've had to take back to, you know, the emergency room for something, and, you know, she's got a pain in her side that we can't figure out, and she's, before the doctor comes in, is like, do not tell the doctor, you know, about my mental health issues, you know, because it's true, and I've seen it, you know, where they'll, the second they know what medication she's on and why she's taking them, everything that comes out of her mouth is discounted. And that's half the reason I started going to all of her doctor's appointments and everything with her, is as a kind of backup. You know, yes, she is actually going through this. She is not making it up in her head. You know, do not treat her as such. You know, it's been tough.
I've had doctors that, you know, won't even look at me or talk to me. They just talk to him the whole time. And, you know, it's
crazy.
It's fine.
What you're saying is, I'm glad we're jumping in. This is just a real discussion. I went out to a second grade mom's night, right? And so, you know, this really lovely mom who was a hoot, she was so hilarious. She, you know, she found out what I did. And, you know, I have a way of talking about my son's mental health that doesn't stigmatize. I'm like, oh, he's super active. He's charismatic. He's like a little Will Ferrell or Robin Williams. Or, you know, I do it in such a loving way so that you get the main idea. And then this mom was really vulnerable and told me her son has ADHD, but she doesn't want to tell the other moms because, you know, there's this, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm from the Midwest, but where I live, people kind of make it all look perfect on the outside. And I know it's not perfect for any of us. And I'm the doctor in the South Bay. So I know, like, these lovely families, you know, no one, no societal situation can escape having people who have anxiety or depression or ADD. So this really lovely mom, and I'm like, you know, she was like, I don't have anyone to talk to. I'm like, well, now you do. I can talk to you. We can be friends. You know, because she knows that some people won't necessarily understand it. They'll think, oh, that's the wild child, and we don't want our child to hang out with the more active kids, right? And so
right.
I think we have to do better at the way we explain things and the way we share. And so I really thank my son. I adopted my son at birth, and he's just a sweetheart, but he's a handful. And I believe we get matched up with the people we're supposed to go through life with. And I feel
Agreed.
Like I've told him many times, you are my biggest teacher in this lifetime. And so I just want everyone that's listening to the show, and I do tell the moms and the parents in my practice, I do what I call appropriate shares, right? So like if a mom has a child that had a wild week, I'll say, oh, how does this resonate with you? Like I'll share like when I had chicken nuggets thrown at me or...
So I
make it real. And I think as a society, if we take the shame out of things and just accept that we all have an inner world and an inner thought process, and not judging it, coming from a non-judgmental perspective. And I think when we're born into this world, kids are so innocent and so sweet, and they're not coming from a place of judgment. So I really
right.
think that our preschools and our schools can do a better job of integrating that thought process. And we do have that at our schools. I'm not saying everyone does it, but we have an integrative kindness curriculum where the kids on every Wednesday, there's a school assembly, and kids get awards for acts of kindness. They get awards for did they walk to school? And then they look at which classrooms did the best with recycling and taking care of the planet. And so that type of thinking is integrated. We haven't gone one step further where kids understand kind of that concept of neurostyle, like I'm shy and that's okay, or I'm loud, and you know, where people would just accept, you know, that that's the kid who getting through a 7-hour day of school is like putting them, you know, actually kind of almost like the front line of war. Like, how did I get through 7 hours of school? So if people
right.
had more tolerance, if we were teaching our children at a young age and come from a place of tolerance and acceptance, I think that would be a big, big shift in what we're trying to do, you know, you with your show and myself as a doctor and my show, with shifting, helping being part of the shift of changing the way we think and talk about mental health.
I think that would shift a lot of things, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yeah.
that would shift not only that, but, you know, the, you know, things like race relations and gender relations and I mean, you name it. You know, all these societal ills that we have right now. I like that, societal ills.
Yeah, there you go.
Look at me.
you go with your new term, hashtag societal ill. We're going to go societal well, not ill. So there. By the way, everyone, I love to laugh. The only way I can do what I do is by having a great sense of humor. So thanks for laughing with me today, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And by the way, I laugh at myself, too. Like, when I make mistakes, you want to hear my biggest mom mistake that I did in the last month, but I'm, like, so at one with it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I really practice mindfulness, and I'm usually patient, and I've got a whole behavioral plan for Kieran. And if you saw my overall way I handle things, you'd be like, wow, she's rocking it. Well, there was a night in the last week, of course, I told you all the things that I went through with all the patient trauma. So
right.
I had not enough sleep one night, and my son was so loud, and it was right when it's like the wildest time of day. And instead of just thinking this in my head, I actually said this out loud. I said, I wish I had a muzzle for you.
Oh, jeez.
No, by the
That's
way,
not gonna go well.
What'd you say? No, it didn't, but I love him. And by the way, you know, he got really enraged with me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, mommy made the biggest mistake. I'm all about calling myself out on my own stuff. I call it like, mommy needs a timeout. She's, you know, she's sorry. And so we got over it quickly because he knows I don't usually do that. But I just want all parents out there listening to know that we're not perfect, that we all make mistakes. You know, and same with us as adults, you know, in relationships, sometimes I'm sure Joe and Becca, you guys lash out each other at times. I mean, I think the other thing too is we have to have the vulnerability that we're not going to have perfect days and that we are going to make mistakes. And I think that's really an important thing to remember because sometimes we can stay and kind of beat ourselves up inside our heads instead of moving on to the next moment.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and take a break. This is Carly Robin Green with What Love Is All About. Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0, and if you're just tuning in, we are talking today with Dr. Denise McDermott, host of the Dr. Denise Show, as well as a well-known physician, author, an all-around very swell lady.
Thank you. I like that, swell lady. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure having you, Doc.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about your ebook, Mental Health and How to Thrive?
Yeah. So when I decided to bridge out into the greater world, I had been doing some blogs and some writing. And then I was invited, which was such an honor, in October of 2016 to go to the Dalai Lama's Body, Mind, Life Conference in Dharamsala, India. And so wow. I thought it would be really, oh my gosh, you guys, it was incredible. I was there with so many Buddhist monks that are my dear friends now, and it was incredible to bridge the holistic health and the East meets West thinking. And so I wanted to go to India, giving some knowledge. And so what I did was I compiled my blog post, and then I wrote an introduction that sort of declared why I think it's so important to talk and think in a different way about mental health. And so I set an intention to have a book that I could give them when I went to India. So I didn't really do a lot of marketing for it because I've been so busy, I'm sure you know how you are, just producing content and mm-hmm. also being a doctor and being a mother. And so it's called Mental Health and How to Thrive, and you can get it on Amazon, and it's an ebook. And then it's also on my site, drdenisemd.com. And so I also have tips. I think it's really important, like if you're going to read about anxiety or depression or ADD, I have some tips and tools and links and things that are really helpful. And the way the language is written, if people, when they're reading the book, they'll realize that my way I talk and think comes from a wellness perspective. So you're also getting really like almost like a in vivo mindfulness / cognitive behavioral therapy ebook, if that makes sense.
Hmm. Very interesting. Yeah, yeah, it sounds like a good read.
Thank you. And I also we know are that people don't like
to read. We're all about a good read.
Oh, I love books. I get books and I like holding them in my hands. This is an ebook. But these days, a lot of the younger generation wants to know everything in like 200 or 144 characters or whatever and less, right? And so when I did the ebook, the blog posts are very succinct. So if you kind of like just really good tools and tips, it's a good book for someone who maybe even doesn't love to read like I love to read. Because I wanted to bridge the different generations. You know, I know that some people don't like the longer book. So hopefully that book, Mental Health and How to Thrive, is something that can help a lot of people.
That's what we hope for, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I'm sure it will.
And you also have a podcast, like I mentioned when we came back. It's called The Dr. Denise Show. How long have you been hosting your show, and what type of guests do you focus on?
Well, you know, that's been such a joy. I started it in June of last year, and I've had such amazing diversity of guests. So I started out with an MMA pioneer who suffers with depression and dementia. I've had, you know, his name's Gary Goodrich. I have pioneers in science. So the people that I've interviewed, I've had someone that was thriving with autism that's graduated college and she's an author. I had someone that came out as a gay male who was on Project Runway Junior talking about his anxiety. I had a scientist talk about pharmacogenetics. I had someone that's an expert in Buddhism. I had Rebecca on the show, which we're going to launch next week. And I had Yashi Brown. I don't know if you know Yashi Brown. She has bipolar, and I met her through her beautiful poetry. And I actually went to an event that Dr. Oz held. Her family got an award for mental health advocacy. So because I'm in LA, she's like, do you want to go? I'm like, sure. So, and oh my gosh, I met the coolest, you know, people with pay it forward attitudes. This incredible journal Stokes, he is an NBA player now over in China playing, and he wants to go to India with me. He's doing a documentary. I co-produced a documentary this year too on meditation and psychiatry. And so I had Michelle Pascal on my show. And so you can see my intention with my show is for the show to be a living, breathing, in vivo example of holistic health and well-being. So I pick guests that represent different types of wellness, not illness thinking, and I incorporate spirituality as well as mental health and science. And I'm having so much fun. It's interesting how much fun you have doing the things that, you know, maybe aren't the ones that are paying the bills right now, but I am so passionate. Like, I love meeting, like, Rebecca, like, I love that I'm meeting you and Joe now. I'm like, wow, now I know Rebecca and Joe, right?
That's right.
And, you know, oh my gosh, then I met Simonetta. Do you guys know Simonetta Lean? Oh my gosh. So Simonetta Lean is a millennial activist and fashion icon who has over 1 million followers over all of her platforms. And she used her platform. She interviewed a teenager who had been bullied and depressed. And so I was like, way to go, Simonetta. So I had her on my show, and she's written an article about me. And, you know, I actually interviewed, too, Lauren Batchelder, who had been one of the people who came out right after the current president was elected with the death threats she received after some tweets that he did about her in 2015. And so I was fortunate to interview Lauren. And the reason why I did it wasn't to make it a political polarizing topic. It was because at that time I had had 10 kids under age 18 in the last 6 months that were suicidal. And one of the big factors was that they were bullied. So I pick topics that are topical plus mental health related. And then also you've got to have that feel good, pay it forward spirit too, because we don't, you know, we can get pummeled with just hearing sadness and negativity. We've got to hear the good stories too, right?
Right.
And so my show is a very diverse show. And then recently I started doing a couple things with my dear friend from elementary school, who's an Emmy Award winning news reporter, Kathleen O'Toole. We started doing a couple episodes called On Staying Sane. And we did an interview back and forth about the Harvey Weinstein issue. We covered the Vegas shootings. And then there was recently a book called The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump that came out. And I just launched a On Staying Sane episode about that. And so I read a lot of books too. I mean, I do the research and all the R&D and produce everything myself right now. And then recently I was asked to write a television show, which is why I was busy. But that's something that's in the making, intention, and that's going to be growing. And we'll just see how everything progresses.
Yeah, we got to hear about that when, you know, when that's going to premiere. We'd love to have you back on to talk about that, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, God, you got your hands in everything.
I do have my hands in everything. And so what I'm doing is setting an intention. I'm also about to throw a charity event that I'll tell you about, too. But what I'm saying is it's such an honor. The podcast for me is it's so much more than a podcast. It's like building like the most amazing tribe of people who are aligned with wanting to have change. So Becca and Joe, like all your listeners right now, I just, you know, way to go for you and everyone that's listening. All of us matter. And the power of social media and the words we write and think and say, they are so powerful. And so whatever medium, every email we send, every text message, it matters. And I think we need to, that's another thing I'm really passionate about. Since our youth, you know, I'm raising a son who's never going to know what it's like to pick up a phone and, you know, like the old school phone, you know, it's going to be more texting. And so I think this youthful generation, we need to have ways that they make sure they're making eye contact, that they don't always discuss emotionally charged issues via text, that they learn how to do eye contact, because I think people are losing some of the essence of the humanity in communication. And so I think when we're having shows like this, we have to remember, whether we're a teacher, a parent, or an adult, even without kids, that we need to really call ourselves to a higher level of kindness when we're communicating.
That's actually perfect timing, because we were going to ask you about your activity on social media and the advice you might have for anyone that does have mental health issues and about using social media safely.
You know, I think that's fantastic. So I think we can cover, I think being mindful in how we communicate in any medium is important. And I think a lot of times people just react and they don't pause and think. And so let me just give an example. I think people need to do self-regulation. All of us do, no matter what age we are. You know, there's a lot of negativity and fear-based thinking and hateful behavior going on in the news and social media. So I think what we need to do is choose, how are we going to consume? Like, what radio stations, what television shows, what newspapers do I feel like I want to get the data to know what's going on in the world? And then before we go to get that data, we need to emotionally check in with ourselves and say, you know, am I in a good space to hear something sad? Or if I do, am I going to decide to log off? I think sometimes people have this morbid curiosity when they see people being super mean or super nasty. People can get addicted to it. You know, right away, you know, we've got the dopamine 1 receptors are like, yeah, this feels good, this feels good. Then we've got the D2 receptors that are supposed to tell you to stop. Right? If you overwhelm yourself with anything, whether it's sex, substance use, social media, shopping, for all of us, it gets to the point where the D2, the dopamine receptors, and your own ability to regulate just turn off and you just keep doing it. So I think, Rebecca, to answer your question, I think people have to have self-awareness and self-regulation. And I also think people need to remember you can use social media to meet the coolest tribe ever. And so what I've done is I really kind of came up with what I wanted the Dr. Denise brand to stand for. And I just went into social media April of 2016. And I'm about to hit 30K on Twitter. I think today I'll hit 30K on Twitter and 32,000 on Facebook in like a year and a half. And I put I have image assets, I have facts, I have positive quotes. And then I've met people like yourselves and people tag each other. I've got a whole group that we all like tell each other, what are we doing? Way to go. And to me, that is like a really cool way of using social media. And I think we can help our youth and our children remember that they can use it to be kind and to be loving and really interact with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's and the community that's out there is so amazing. You know, it really is for as far flung as everybody is all across this country, you know, with the people that you talk to, the people that we talk to, all of our mental health friends that are on Twitter and Facebook, you know, there's a love and there's a closeness, you know, despite, you know, like I said, you know, we're in Detroit, you're in, you know, in California, and, you know, we've got people in Chicago and people in New York and people in, you know, Colorado and all over the country, you know, but there's still, that's the one nice thing about social media is that you break down the walls of distance. And, you know, when you need to, you know, some encouragement, people are there and they step up right away and they're encouraging to you, you know, and, you know, that's an awesome thing. And that's, again, one of the reasons we're trying to raise awareness too is, you know, to show people not only that they're not alone, but that there's this great community that has been through the same things that they've been through, and they're there for them and they're there to talk, you know. And, you know, we don't have all the answers. You know, we're not perfect by any stretch. You know, Beck still struggles on a daily basis. You know, I have my own struggles, and, you know, knowing that we can say, well, it's not a good day today. And, you know, you'll have, you know, a handful of people will pop up and say, well, I'm sorry you're going through that. You know, here's a virtual hug for you because I care about you. You know, that's an awesome thing. You know,
well,
it's powerful.
You know what I want to say? It is awesome and it is powerful. And we're living at a time where science and spiritual knowledge is bridging. And we know from a quantum physics standpoint that there is energy healing from a distance. And that cooperation and altruism, that was actually the claim to fame that Darwin really wanted to have. He didn't want everyone to know, you know, it's just survival of the fittest. I think what's happening right now in the current political milieu environment in our country is it's a very survival of the fittest mentality instead of what we truly need as a humanity and for all sentient beings is we need compassion and action. We need altruism. And we need to remember that words, thoughts, actions, and feelings from a distance influence our cellular DNA. And that is why social media and what we say and think and tell ourselves is so powerful. And if you look at my logo and banner for Dr. Denise, it spent 3 months getting it, nailing it. If you look on my site, drdeniseng.com, I have DNA strands unraveling that look like they're in a hologram fashion. And the reason why I did that is I wanted to set the intention of my brand and my thought process of bridging many realms of thinking, whether it's with patients, scientists, high-level thinkers, that we all matter, and that our thought process, science plus spiritual thinking, can influence our DNA as individuals and as a collective. There's all kinds of things about the biology of belief, Bruce Lipton. There is the book You Are the Placebo. And so let's bridge that with the discussion about the power of what you just said, getting a virtual hug, having people put hearts, sending love. I have an office. I'm very fortunate, everyone. If you ever see, if you go to my Twitter handle, at Dr. Denise MD, I love to send pictures of sunsets. That's from my Manhattan Beach office. When I send pictures to people and when I do hashtag one humanity and one love, I am present and I'm sending love. My mind is sending love and light to, I actually, in the morning, before I get up out of bed, I practice gratitude and I envision entire earth with white light around it and then shifting out into the universe. And so I have my Western medicine understanding of the universe, but I have my old soul healing kind of Reiki knowledge. And so we all have that ability. You don't have to have an MD to be kind and loving and send that kind of love to one another. The power of a smile is so important. The power of eye contact. This is stuff that people are forgetting. And you're not. You guys are not forgetting it. This show does not stand for this. This is a positive. This is a show that you can say I'm having a crappy day and someone understands it, but then they offer you a hug, right? And so I think we have to all remember that we're humans, but we're also, I believe, you know, we're all souls and that we're infinitely powerful. And what I really want to have happen is there's so much fear-based thinking. And so one of the big passions I have, and you can hear it in my voice, is using social media to really show that love and kindness and altruism and compassion can win. Hate and fear do not need to win. We need to all pull together and remember that.
You know, and I think we've really... There's been a sort of shift since I very first came online on Twitter to talk about, you know, my blog and my book and everything. At the beginning, there was a lot more. Maybe it's because I've blocked everybody.
Yeah. Well, you block the haters? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Exactly.
Good job. That's really, okay. Send them love really and light, though, or neutrality, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. And there was often, you know, it was like every other post was somebody being critical of someone else's mental health issues or, you know, being rude or nasty or whatever. And it seems like that's really kind of
tailing off.
Yeah. It's I think that we're definitely taking the right steps.
Well, and then aren't we fortunate that we've got Lady Gaga, Prince Charles? I mean, we have people stepping up. We have people calling people out on assault. I mean, people are getting a little too intense with that. But I think society's realizing that we need to speak our truth, but we can speak our truth in a kind way. We don't have to speak our truth in a mean way. And, I mean, there's still, it's a lot happening. I'm just putting it out there that we're shifting, okay? I don't want everyone to think that I don't realize there's a lot of hatred still going on in the world, but I'm sort of calling all of us to our best selves. And so it sounds like, Becca, you've seen a shift, right?
Now, sorry to interrupt, but we do actually have a call.
Oh, okay,
that has
great.
Come in.
Okay.
It's for you. So it's Kirk from Colorado.
Welcome, Kirk.
Hello, how are you all doing? It's great
Good.
To talk
how are
you to
you doing?
Again.
Is this the
doing
Kirk?
Really well. This is Kirk Miller, yes. So
hey.
I was listening, and I just love what you guys are talking about, and especially the mixture between the meditation and, you know, staying positive. I did have one question for you. You had been talking about, you know, the dopamine receptors, and I was wondering, you know, what role you thought stress was playing in some of these young individuals' lives, especially after the circadian rhythm study and looking at, you know, cortisol and the endocrine system. A lot of the students I deal with just seem super stressed. And I was wondering what advice you'd give to some of those, because those children, because a lot of times they reach out using social media. And I don't think they know how to de-stress. So
yeah,
I was wondering
you know
what you had to think about that.
Okay, thank you. It's such a great question. I think we are also living at a time where we need to remember to unplug from our media and unplug from our devices. I'm not against them, but I think what's happened, Kirk, and it's such a great question. I don't know if you're familiar with Cam Adair. He has a gamequitters.com site. He's given 2 TED Talks. I did interview him on my podcast, and I think our youth and our teens and all of us, we are overly stimulated. We are, if we constantly have emails coming in, text messages come in, I don't think our youth are spending enough time learning just to shut that off to go spend time in nature, to exercise, to practice mindfulness. We have to, you know, it's one of the reasons Kirk, I was about to interview Kirk in a couple of weeks, and I will interview him in the new year. I decided I had to postpone some shows because I had too many patients in acute crises. And if I'm going to show up with my A game as a doctor to make sure my cortisol levels are okay, I have to do self-regulation. So what you're talking about, Kirk, is our youth being self-aware that they can't be 24/7 connected to social media like they are. And that is not being taught in a way that's scientifically making sense to them. And I believe that that kind of teaching needs to happen in our schools. And so I just want you guys to know, Cam Adair of GameQuitters.com flew in from Portugal, and we're going to be launching. He's got a million followers, a million hits on YouTube. He and I did Dr. Denise and Cam Adair parenting tips about this very topic, Kirk, about how parents can help their kids. Yeah, he flew in about 3 weeks ago, right before he was going to give a talk in Laguna. And he and I filmed not only at my office, but we brought him to my house to meet my 8-year-old. So... Because my 8-year-old loves the iPad, and I have to do timers for my son. I have to have play dates. So what I do as a parent is I set timers, and I've told my son, I've educated my son that imagination play is good for you. It's healthy for you. Mom would not be a good mom if I let you play with that video game all day long. It's not healthy for your brain. And so I think those simple tips to our children – and as a parent and doctors and educators, we need to teach our children this. We don't have to villainize games because the games are not going away. Okay, there's 97% of American kids use video games. Cam's got all the data. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, that does. Well, and I think it's an important issue just for all the young ones out there that I see and work with. A lot of them struggle with, like you said, in school, they're told, oh, this is bad, don't do this. And I work with a really great guy, and his name is Jeffrey Fried. He wrote Right Brain Children and Left Brain World. And he's really big into the idea that the overstimulation is actually causing some problems, and why we're seeing some of the rises in, different mental wellness issues. So I think it's, by the way, you guys are all just awesome. So I don't want to take any more time, but wonderful show. And I just wanted to send you all a hug. And,
one more thing I want to say, thank you so much. But what you just talked about is incredibly important. And I wanted to give everyone a book and a referral. It's Victoria. Do you guys know Victoria Dunkley? Hold on 1 second.
No.
Let me get this book for you guys. No. Hold on. She's in Victoria Dunkley, D-U-N-C-K-L-E-Y, and she has a book called Reset Your Child's Brain. Okay, everyone out there, Victoria Dunkley, D-U-N-C-K-L-E-Y, Reset Your Child's Brain. Okay, guys, that exactly talks about giving your kids media breaks and why for the overstimulation. So we've got that's an integrative psychiatrist who's outstanding. I am about to launch YouTube videos I'll let you guys know about. In fact, maybe I'll be back on the show once I do that. And I agree. We all need to help for mental health for all of us. It's super important.
Yeah.
I've written down that book, and thank you for that.
Thank you so much for calling in, Kirk.
I'm such a nerd.
Yeah, thanks, Kirk.
The biggest geek. Kirk, thank
you. Have
a
wonderful day, Joe and Rebecca.
I'm such a geek. I'm addicted to Amazon
too,
books. Nice to meet you.
Take care. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Kirk. Yeah, you know, unplugging is really important. I've been talking with Beck about this the last day or two, that I think I'm going to temporarily shut down my Facebook just because I need a break. I need to unplug. It's been a little bit too much, and especially this time of year with everything that's going on, it can almost be overwhelming when you have that on top of the holidays and, you know, people are posting all this stuff and, you know, it's just sometimes you have to think small, you know, you have to. And what I mean by saying thinking small is, you know, instead of being so far out there, you know, like how you're saying that you're going to hold off and not do your show for a few weeks so you can concentrate on your patients and your family. I think we all need to do stuff like that. We have to take a self-assessment and step back a minute and go, you know what? What do I need right now just for my own self-care, just to kind of contract things a little bit and refocus, you know?
And you know what that actually is? And this is why I'm such a proponent of mindfulness. You know, it's a myth that meditation has to be just sitting there quietly going om for 20 minutes, right? It doesn't mean you don't do that, but your entire life can become the meditation. And that is the what I've called upon myself as a mother and as a doctor and also someone that has deep intentions for being a healer to many, that I have to walk the walk. And what you just said is we all need to be in this moment right now. We need to be self-aware, non-judgmental. We have to have love of self and love of others. When we're doing that, that actually really contributes to the highest level of mental health, physical health, and love of yourself and humanity.
Yeah, it really does.
Well, it looks like we are out of time for today.
It's a bummer because we still had a bunch of questions that we wanted to ask you. But, you know, we'll save those for next time.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have you back on again and
absolutely.
We'll hopefully get through our holistic questions.
Oh, I'm smiling, though. I'm sending you guys so much love. And with Becca, with your dad and the holidays, just know I'm sending you so much love and also gratitude. Gratitude for the show and for everything you guys are doing, and also respect for your love of one another. You guys have such a strong love, and it's really admirable.
Thank
you very much. We've got this us against the world whole thing.
It's become a bit of our mantra, us against the world. And it was funny, we were talking yesterday, and I was having a rough day at work. It was either yesterday or the day before, and she was having a bit of a rough day, and we both texted to each other at the same time, us against the world. And
oh,
it was just
cute.
Kind of fun. It was just kind of funny, you know.
Whenever I write capital US or capital WE, I look at it as one collective and one humanity. So I do that when I do my feed. I set the intention so that, you know, the not feeling alone, but that's really sweet. You're like, we are such a loving, strong force as a couple. Like, we've got this. Right? You're like, we're going to nail this. Our love is so strong. So I love that. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks again for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. We truly do appreciate it. It's been a great show.
Yeah, it's been a great conversation. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of great things. And hopefully we've you know, brought some awareness and some new perspectives to our listeners. And, you know, we hope that everybody has a wonderful day. And before we go, really quick, Doc, just blast us with your social media. Where can people find you, contact you, reach out to you, send you little smiley face emojis, whatever.
I love that. Okay, so on Twitter and Facebook, I'm at Dr. Denise MD. DrDeniseMD. And my website is drdenisemd.com, drdeniseemd.com. All my information's there, my ebook, my documentary, and other blog posts and everything is all there for everyone to have. And I'd love to have you guys follow. I'd love to follow you back. Okay? So thank you so much for having me today.
Awesome.
Thank you. We hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yep.
And we'll be signing off with John Williams, Get There When You Can.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you guys too. And get here to share.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.